regards to the way partnership should work. I can't tell you. I want to think it's like 27 or maybe 28 years that this church have been partnering with me first, then with us. With me because this church started to support me when I was only a teenager. That's not very long ago, so don't get to, you know, judge him. Oh, he's old now, no? But yeah, some people from this church went to Honduras. I'm a native from the islands of Honduras called the Bay Islands, Roatan. And that's where I get my English and my accent from. But anyway, they were there on a work group. My dad was a pastor, and they were working on a church there. And some person from this church thought that I had some talent. And they asked my dad, why don't you send Donnie to study? You know, I'd finished the limit we had in Roatan, and my dad was so holy, he didn't really believe very much on sending his kids to further at their education. He was more like, stay here and work, you know, but he gave in. The person from this church was very convincing, and he gave in, and he allowed me to study, and this church came along with the promise of helping me along, and I was able to move to Mexico, and that's where I did my seminary preparation. And all the while in Mexico, this church was present in some way or the other. When I was done, I went back to Honduras and decided to extend the ministry to the mainland, and this church was there. And we started out with like eight people, and now we have five congregations, and the overall attendance of all our congregation, you know, we're about 1,000. I pastor a congregation of 600, and God have been good to us, and it's all because of your faithful partnership. I really believe that what God has done and will do is closely related to the commitment that you have made to partner with us and to bless us with not only money, but your prayers, which is even more important, and also your time. And it is a blessing for me to look you in the eyes this morning and say thanks from the bottom of my heart. Thanks, and thanks in behalf of all the people who are being touched in Honduras and who will be touched. Today I want to talk to you on the series that you are currently dealing with. Pastor Steve told me that you're dealing with a series on the hidden heroes of the Bible. Hidden heroes of the Bible. And I want to give a big shout out to Pastor Steve also, because you know that you have the confidence of a church when their pastor would leave you his pulpit and go away, you know. that's like you're turning your back on anybody, you know. I could just mess up his whole deal here now. And, he was talking on hidden heroes of the Bible. I wouldn't want to say something that he will already affirm and, you know, give it off. So, but he trusts me enough. He said, I trust you. I know you'll do a good job, and you won't do nothing that I wouldn't do. So I'll try not to do that. The girls did a great job. The young kids that was up here did a great job reading already the text for today, which is in 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 11 through 13 and 23, 1 through 3. So I'll not read it again. You already have it in your minds. But one of the things we can learn from the life of Josiah, which is one of those hidden heroes of the Bible, is that heroes are common people. And I don't know if this means anything to you, but there came a time in my life that I came to notice. I didn't always know that, that heroes were common people. I always thought that biblical characters possessed some kind of superpower, because it's the way my Sunday school teacher would talk about biblical characters. When they talked about Moses, it was like Moses, you know, the man of God, and you know, he was in, and you would look up to Moses, wow, guy, he parted the Red Sea. And they talked about David, you know, David, little David, you know, faced big Goliath, and he just knocked Goliath down because he was a man of God. And as a little kid, I would like, wow, you know, big guy up there, you know, super guy. And even when preachers would preach from the pulpit, it would be the same thing. You talk about St. Paul, the holy Paul, you know, and Peter. We need to be like Peter, folks, and we must be like Paul. They would prance their foot, you know, Paul. You're like, wow, to be like Paul, you know. Great superheroes. And I always, you know, kind of grew up like that. We can never be like Peter or Paul or Moses, because they were like really up there. But here we got Josiah, and he is such a common person. Matter of fact, he's a little bit uncommon, but not on the line of being great, more on being little. Josiah's story teaches us that we can be heroes even though we're not super people. We can be heroes even though we are not super people. Josiah was the son of an evil father. His grandfather was evil. His grandfather was Manasseh. Manasseh was one of the most evil kings in the history of Israel. Then his dad was Amon, and Amon was evil. Amon, his dad, was murdered by his own people. He was so evil. So here come Josiah, only 8 years old, and they made him king, not because he could reign at 8 years old, because an 8 years old can't reign, but he had the name. He was from the dynasty, you know, the kings, and I would imagine that people didn't expect much from Josiah, given that his grandfather was an evil person, his dad was an evil person. He certainly did not have the profile of a future hero. If we went by profile, you know, he didn't fit the profile of a hero then or now. If Josiah lived now, we wouldn't put him in the list of possible heroes. He would be in another list. His family was a disaster. And I believe, back then, as now, we tend to judge people by their past. And if they had looked at Josiah's past, they would have said, no, he cannot be a hero. If he lived today and we examine his past, we would say, no, he cannot be a hero. But you know what is refreshing? It's refreshing to know that God does not deal with us according to our past, but he deals with us according to our future. God does not pay too much attention to who we were, where we came from. He is looking and leading us to who we can become, to where we're going. We as humans judge people by their past, but God judges people by their future. I've always had as one of my favorite texts. Matter of fact, it's probably one of the first Bible verses that I memorized. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, if any man be in Christ, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. This is God's way of seeing life. Old things are past. He's always looking to the new. And that's why anybody can become a hero. Because your past has nothing to do with who you can become in the future in God's way of seeing life. Of course, that's not our way. I especially like the way James in the New Testament deal with this hero thing, you know. James 5:17, I won't read it, but it says something like this, that Elijah was a man of like passion as we are. This is the King James Version, but it's saying like, what it's basically saying is Elijah, the hero, biblical hero, was just like us, just like common people. And that's almost like taking off Superman disguise and revealing Clark Kent. You know, like this Kryptonian man, he is just a normal person. You know, he's just Clark Kent. He's no super something, he's just Clark Kent. And that's what James is saying. When we tend to say, oh, to be like them, James is saying they were like us. That blew my mind to think that Moses was like me, because I always wanted to be like Moses. See? And he said, no, it's just revealing something interesting. And if we go to comics or the superheroes, and you say, what would happen if people found out, you know, the people in the comic books and the people in the movie found out that Clark Kent was Superman? What would happen? You know, you would have a lot of Supermans coming up there, because they would realize this is not a one-man thing. This is a thing that we all can, because we're all like Clark Kent. So we could all be Superman. Huh? So this is what we learned about heroes. Heroes are not Superman. Heroes are Clark Kents. In other words, all of us have a hero inside waiting to be revealed. Yes. I was looking at the kids when they were performing up here or worshiping up here and thinking, what will these kids become? There's potential in them to be heroes and heroines. They can be great. It's in them. God created us with the seed of greatness inside. Every one of us, regardless of your situation, you cannot have certain members of your body. You cannot not be the brightest mentally, but God has placed the seed of greatness in every one of us in the situation in which you find yourself. There's a hero inside of each of us, and it's waiting to be revealed. Because the fact that the hero is within is not the revelation of that hero. That God put the hero within, but we must decide to let him out. Are you with me? God put a hero in each one of us, but we're the one decide to let that hero out or not. Josiah was only 8 years old when he began his reign. And he come from a terrible background, but he led one of the greatest reformation in the Old Testament. One of the greatest, an 8 years old that started as just a kid, and you know, he don't know what he's doing and blah, blah, blah. But he ended up doing one of the greatest work in the Old Testament. And I think there's three keys. We must reveal, you know, the hero in us. And I think there's three keys to revealing the hero inside. Let me just walk you through those and I'll be out of your sight. Three keys to revealing the hero inside. One is strength to make tough decisions. And we learned this from Josiah. You will never release the hero inside of you if you do not have the strength to make tough calls. Make tough decisions. Josiah destroyed the idols of those people. 57 years, these people were worshiping idols. There was certain group of kids that did not know nothing but worshiping idols. And Josiah had to face parents and kids and system and everything else and say, from this day on, there will be no more worshiping idol in this place. Now, if Josiah was like me, and the Bible said these heroes were like us, then I know this was a tough thing to do. Because you're thinking about some of your families who were worshiping idols. So you got to go against some family members. You know some good business people that are worshiping idols. So that means you got to go against these people. You're making some decision here that a lot of people are going to disagree with it. But Josiah understood that there was a hero in him. And the only way to reveal the hero was to make the tough calls. Make tough decisions. Josiah went into the temple. He destroyed the idol temple. He attacked the priest or confronted the priest. He destroyed their houses. Josiah placed his throne and his life on the line to make this reformation. He was strong enough to make the tough decision. There has never been, listen to me, there has never been, never ever been any greatness without tough decisions. Next time you see a person that you consider a hero or just a great person or somebody you admire, ask them about the tough decisions they had to make. Matter of fact, one of the reasons why we look up to people is because of their courage or their strength to make tough decisions. And I give to you this morning that many times the hero inside us, our Superman, does not reveal himself because we chicken off and we do not have the strength to make the tough call that it requires of a hero. The strength to take tough decision. Number two, the courage to lead. The courage to lead. Josiah could have killed the hero by using excuses to not stand up and take the lead in this reformation. His grandfather didn't take the lead. His dad didn't take the lead. He could have blamed the priest and said, the priest have let the book lost in the temple and the priest should be preaching the word of God. And what the priest doing? He didn't give that excuse. He said, I'm going to make the reformation. He didn't blame the prophets. He could have said, well, the prophets should prophesy. They should decry the fact that the book and the law is not being read. He could have said that, but no. He said, I'll do it. I'll take the lead. I'll take the initiative here. He could have blamed it on the scribes. Well, the scribes who write, you know, they should be concerned in keeping the book before the people. He didn't do that. He did not use excuse. Because if you want to reveal the leader inside you, you cannot walk behind excuses in your life. Excuses are self-imposed limits that keeps us from entering our divine destiny. And I just a little parenthesis there. Back home, our folks are very poor, but they all have cell phones. and they bring them to church. And for some time there, I was like, we would put on the screen, you know, please don't use your cell phone. But that didn't help. They still would use them because the young people, we have a 63% of young people in our congregation. So they're so good at using their phone that they can use it without looking at it. And they would be looking at me and, amen. And I said, man. So I decided it was not worth the while fighting it. So I went in with it. And I said, now next Sunday I want everybody to bring their phones. Oh, yeah. And every time I say something like what I just said, excuses are self-imposed limitation that keeps us from divine destiny, I would say to them, I want you to Facebook this to your friend. Facebook to all your contacts. Twitter it to all your people. And they would go, suddenly I was preaching to a whole world, right? Yeah, I was preaching on a pulpit there, but reaching all over the world. Yeah, so... So that's what we do now. We tell them, we encourage them to bring their cells. But yeah, this is what Twittering and Facebooking and all that stuff. Excuses are self-imposed limitations to our divine destiny. Self-imposed limitation, because excuses are not real stuff. It's just stuff that you make up to not do certain things. Some people say, if I had enough money... But how much money is enough money to do certain things? Okay? Nobody can ever get enough money. The people that have a lot of money talk the same thing, the same talk that those that have little money. The same talk about enough money. The millionaire is talking about enough money, and the poor is talking about enough money. Some people say, I've had enough time. But who have more time than any other person? All of us got the same amount of time. There's 24 hours in the day. Nobody has 35 hours in the day. It's only 24 hours, so we all got the same amount of time. Whenever we put these things to not... To as an excuse, they're only self-limitation. And it's self-limiting us it's self-limiting us to becoming who God created us to become. Does that make sense? You're not sure. Okay. So he had the strength to make this tough decision. He had the courage to lead, and he had the wisdom to seek God. These are things that reveal the heroes in you. If you do not have the courage to make the tough decision, if you do not have the strength to lead or the wisdom to seek God, the most sure thing, you'll die with your hero inside. And I think that's the true tragedy in life. See, the tragedy is not to die. We all die. It's not even how you die. The tragedy is dying before liberating the seed of greatness that God has placed in you. That's the tragedy. I wonder how many heroes are in the cemetery that never became what they were destined to become just because they didn't have the strength to make the tough decision, the courage to lead, or the wisdom to seek God. The wisdom to seek God. Before anything else, Josiah said, let's find out from God. When they found the book and they read it, they say, oh, let's do it. No, first, let's find out from God. Let's go to God, because that is key. You see, Josiah knew that with God, he could do exploits. He could do great things. Josiah also knew that without God, he could do nothing. So the first thing he did was seek God. And I know a lot of people who know that greatness is within them, and they strive to take it out, but they try to do it without God. And that's not good. It's not good. We need these three things in order to reveal the hero in us. Will you just look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, there's a hero in you. Yeah, there's a hero in you. Yeah. Your neighbor probably said, me? Yeah, you. Now, as a final thought, And this hit me hard, coming from where I come. Our world needs heroes. Yeah. You see, the challenges of our times demand more than ordinary living. If at any time just ordinary Christianity was good, this is not the time. The challenges we faced in these times require people with extraordinary connection with God. This is a time for the extraordinary. This is the time for the miraculous. This is the time for God's people to stand out. All the Bible heroes that I've read about, every one of them stepped up to the challenge of their time. That's what made them a hero. They decide, the time I'm living in, I cannot just be relaxed. I need to stand up and I need to face this thing. The challenge of our time demand more than just ordinary living. We got to find life in Christ. We need to find life to go out there. We need to stop being satisfied with living and want to have life. Amen? Amen? And some of you may say, but that song like the same thing. Let me explain to you, it's not the same thing. At one occasion, Jesus Christ came to his people and he said, the devil came to kill, to rob, and to destroy. But I, Jesus, he said, came to bring life. And to give it to you in abundance. And I stopped and I said, but Jesus, you're not giving a sermon in a cemetery. It would make sense if he was saying, I come to bring life to people who were dead. But he was saying it to people who were alive. I come to bring life. What he was actually saying to them is, your interpretation of life and my interpretation of life. What you consider life might be breathing, might be having a pulse, might be walking, but what I consider life is more than that. And he went on in a certain occasion, he said, life is more than eating. Life is more than drinking. Life is more than dressing. Life is more than having things. Life is more than just living. All the Bible heroes stepped up to the challenge of their time and they enter into true life, not only an existence. So we need to step up despite our past, despite our fears, despite our doubts. Because heroes are not people without fears, without faults, without doubts. They're people who step up in spite of these. And we many times, we step down because we have these things. We think God can't use us because of our past, because we're doubtful, because we have fear. We're waiting to get all our ducks in. How do you say it here? It's some kind of, you have a say, ducks in a row? Ducks in your hair. We're waiting to have all our ducks in a row in order to move out. And God say, no, we need to move out even though our ducks are not in the row because the challenge of our time demands it. Amen? I remember. Do you remember the story of Esther? That's an interesting story. But what touched me in that story is what Mordecai, her uncle, said to her. He said, who knows if for this time, for such a time like this, God has raised you. That's powerful. That's powerful. That is actually saying to us that we are in this place, in this time, for a purpose. You were not born in 1590s or 1420 because you were destined to be the change in this time for this place and for what's happening now. It's no coincidence that your name, I'm named Donnie Allen and I live in Honduras and I'm in La Ceiba. That's no coincidence. I'm there for the challenges. You are here in Alma. You attend this church. You name what you name. You live and you. Why? Because God has destined you to be the change, to be the hero in such a time like this. When Obama is the president, when
House representative, etc., etc., etc. You're here in this time for a certain purpose. And it'll not happen if you don't recognize that it is within you to stand up and become a reformer, just like Josiah was a reformer. God is only waiting for us to initiate. People, Church of God Alma, God is only waiting for you to initiate something great. God is not asking you to do it. He said, initiate it. He'll step in and he'll do it for you. Amen. I tell you that because if I had to wait till all my ducks was in a row, if any of us in third world countries had to wait till all our ducks was in a row to do anything, we'll never get anything done. We have to learn to step out. I started the school. The school, we do it up to seventh grade now. I don't know nothing about school. Absolutely nothing about school. But I understand that if we're to change a culture, we need to capture the mind of our kids. And we stepped out. And now I know so much about school. I could probably sit with some of you who are in school system and talk to you. De tu a tu, he's saying Spanish, you know, face to face, and probably know just as much. Because once we step in, once we take the initiative, God takes over and he do what needs to be done. Amen? So you're in this place, you're in this time for a reason. God is only waiting for you. You know what makes me glad this morning? I am glad that Josiah didn't die with his hero inside. I am glad that Josiah took his place in history. But you know what makes me kind of uneasy this morning? Is how many people will rise up and take their place in history at a group that is here. I preach so many sermons to my own people. I preach when I come up here. And the same passion burns in my heart. When the sermon is done, when this is done, when you say amen, good sermon, or bad sermon or whatever, what then? What then? Are we going to wait till next Sunday and comment on the sermon again? And next Sunday, come on the sermon again, or will we rise up and take our place in history? Will we live instead of being satisfied with just existing? Will we understand that there's a hero in us to be released? The 8-year boy who didn't have a chance ended up being the greatest reformer of the Old Testament. So I want to leave you with this. Bring the hero out before you die. You just may be the person for the next great reformation. You never know until you stop using excuses. Dare to lead. And seek God in everything you do. Amen. God bless you. Ben.
The word that I was resonating with over there. Thank you, Pastor Donnie, and to stand before God. So I invite you to stand and to sing, but also if there's another tangible action that you want to make, where you would kneel before God, where you would put a request before God, that you would make a declaration to another person about who it is that you want to be on the inside and the outside, to be a person who makes the tough decision, who leads, and who seeks God. This is our chance to respond now to God. So I invite you to stand as we sing.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy. For my heart to find.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before.
Feel as though God has put on my heart to give an invitation of some kind this morning. And as Donnie was speaking, one of the things that just stood out toward the end was he says, well, what then? God has given to all of us an invitation of some kind, and it might be different, but a couple of things began to emerge just as we were singing the last few moments. First of all, if you have never experienced the kind of new life, new creation that Donnie shared from Scripture that says, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. If you've never experienced that in your life, and that's something maybe today that you would like to receive or know even how to receive, I am just going to be up here after the service and maybe even some of our elders as well. But if you would like just to receive prayer this morning after we dismiss and give the benediction, if that's something that's a desire of your heart, to come and I would love to pray with you. The other thing is the invitation that Jesus gave, that I have come to give you life that is full. And full life is offered to us right now. What that looks like unfolds as we follow him each and every day. And so if that's something also that you feel something stirring within you that you would just like prayer for, you feel like God is calling that inner hero in some way to emerge, or there's something that you would like to give to God, a dream that he's put in your heart, any of those things, I want to invite you to come either here or to the family room. I'm sure there'll be people there as well who would love to pray with you. So if you'd like to respond in a way that we can pray, I want to invite you to do that. Sometimes the benediction comes to you not before the service, but after. And so I want to read to us this closing benediction and hear the truth in these words. As we go today as the people of God who have come together in worship, and as we say so often now as the people of God going out to serve, may you go in the love of the Father, who sees us not according to our past, but according to our future and what can be. May you go in the grace and mercy of our Savior Jesus Christ, who we believe made the most courageous decision in all of history so that we could have a relationship with him. And may you go in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of you, even a common person, and makes us into heroes who are sent out into this world. Go in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, amen. Go in peace.
Him with gladness, let all the earth bring songs of praise, telling of his greatness. Know that the Lord we praise is God, he is God our maker, and we are his, a people called sheep within his pasture. Oh, enter in his gates with praise, his courts with great thanksgiving, for he is good, his love endures morning after morning. Oh, shout for joy unto the Lord, see the way is open to live in peace beneath his great shed. I love